Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. A Subway Series that was fun. A Subway Series that got the Yankee fans beating their chest. Oh, C-Mac, this morning I was driving in saying Plan B is so much better than re-signing Juan Soto, and Brian Cashman took down the New York Mets, and oh, Juan Soto, what a terrible signing. That's all I have heard the last couple of days. But if you're a Mets fan like we are, unfortunately, it is towards the end of May, but we got to wear it today. You have to. If you were anybody that was chirping in a Yankee fan's face, we didn't do a lot of that, but the Met fan base as a whole did about signing Soto. Well, today, this morning, you got to wear it. You got no choice, and hopefully by the end of the season, you'll be able to exact some real revenge with the Mets going farther than the Yankees. But right now, it's not fun to be a Mets fan after what happened last night. And the New York Knicks on Wednesday, they are in the Eastern Conference Finals, all-knowing, omnipotent Jerry Recco told us it was going to be a blowout. It was a blowout, and Friday night was as fun as it gets in New York sports. Got a good one for you today. It's going to be Memorial Day weekend at the end of this week. We got kickoff to summer. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, G, and I'm kind of like you and the rest of the Met fans. Very disappointed in the performance over the weekend for Juan Soto, but it's a long way to go. And these games, while they are important, and it's the first time that the Yankee fan has a chance to do some fun stuff over the weekend.
They're allowed.
Juan Soto. I give them all the credit in the world. They were hilarious, actually. all these different things that came up. And I did hear Susan on with Sal and BT talking about maybe what some of the chance would have been, and it turned out she was right. And what can I say? This is what happens. But I just want to tell Yankee fans, your team was not paying Juan Soto $700 million. This whole dance with Juan Soto and we want to keep him and all that was a bunch of crap. They were not going to keep him. Just remember that. They were not going to keep him.
Once it got up to that level of money.
100%. Yes. I mean, they were not going to double what they're paying Aaron Judge, who is by far, in my eyes, the best baseball player in baseball, maybe with the exception of Ohtani. Those two guys are 1-2, 1A, whatever, 1B. I mean, Juan Soto just had a brutal 3 days. I don't know how else to put it. He could smile all he wants. He could take his helmet off and acknowledge the booze all he wants on Friday night. At the end of the day, it was a bad weekend for him. So now he and his family can get on the private jet and go up to Boston. That was interesting that Carl Ravitch said that part of it yesterday.
Yeah, I did. And I also heard Carl Ravitch talk about, Juan Soto vehemently trying to back out of being mic'd up, that he was begging to get the microphone off of him, and it ended up going to Brandon Nimmo. So those were two very interesting things, a private jet thing and then the didn't want to be mic'd up thing. He made sure he put those out there on the broadcast.
By the way,
last night,
Brandon Nimmo was awesome.
He was great. But
he was fine, and I understand
but
why.
But it is interesting that Soto was like, I want no part of this.
Yeah, I understand why. I mean, I totally get all of that, but man, the amount of, crap that the Mets have given this guy. I mean, when you think about it, it's insane. And so now by the way, in that regard, in terms of salary, which is exactly what Juan Soto should have done, he should have gotten as much money as he possibly could, because it's up to him to up the next guy's contract.
Sure.
And that's what you do. That's why you're a part of a union. That's why you take the most money, and they all do the same thing, so it's no different. It's not like he was with the Yankees and drafted by the Yankees and left the Yankees and went to the Mets. He spent 1 year as a mercenary for the New York Yankees. And the Yankees had to give up something to get him, and then Michael King. But they did get back Trent Grisham. They were able to sign Max Fried. They were able to sign Goldschmidt. They were able to sign Bellinger. And all four of those guys played significant roles in the Yankees taking this series. So, if I'm a Yankee fan, I wake up, I'm happy as hell this morning, because Juan Soto, basically did not have a great series. If I'm a Met fan, I'm a little bit disgusted at Pete Alonso turning into Lucas Duda over there at first base.
That was really
not realizing, you know, but this is another bad throw by him.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, they were miserable in this series. That was the worst of the lot. You know, but just to finish up on Soto for a second, like, there's two things that happened last night that, and one of which is being shown here on CBS Sports Network, where you're like, okay, this is now going outside of him being in a slump where you're questioning his effort in two different instances. Now, the first one we just saw where he's not running out the ground ball, he thinks it's going to be a base hit. That's what he thinks. In his perspective, he's like, this is going to be a base hit. I could just jog to first. It's not. Great play made, and he gets thrown out. But he's got to be running. I'm sorry. I mean, that was no lock that was going to be a hit. You have to be running. And then also, you know, his effort with the home run out in right field. I mean, it was almost like he was afraid of the fans out there to go up and get that ball. That ball seemed to me that it deserved a little bit more of an effort from him. So, you know, those two things were a little bit concerning. But there's no way we can make an evaluation on what team made out better after this. It's just that the Yankee fan who heard it the entire offseason, the entire beginning of the season, we are the big brother now. We spend the money. We have the richest owner in baseball. We took your player. They, this morning and last night and after Friday, they had their chance to spit it right back at us. That's all this is right now. But we have June, July, August, September, hopefully October to go. So enjoy it now, just like the Met fan did when it meant nothing when he actually signed. Didn't mean anything when he signed because he's got to perform now and they got to win a championship and he's got to be great. So you enjoy it, but ultimately do not make your final judgment on this now. I mean, for God's sakes.
You can't do that. I mean,
my Lord.
I'm just sitting here saying that, you know, Max Fried has been unbelievable for the Yankees. He has been
so far.
Amazing.
Plan B has been great for the Yankees. That's a fact. So far, it's been great.
He was a pain in the ass when he was with the Braves.
Yeah, he was a good pitcher, man.
And you know, I'll tell you what, he is so smart when he pitches. Well, I will say David Peterson matched him pitch for pitch, though.
Yeah,
you know, David Peterson's turned himself into a really good pitcher too. I would say, with the exception of the error by Pete Alonso last night, you know, these three games were really well played for the most part, and they were intense. The fans were into it.
Well, the Mets couldn't score Friday night. I mean, that was, you know, that one didn't feel like much of a game. But, yeah, games two and three, Saturday and Sunday, felt intense. Yeah, they were close for the most part until, obviously, the Yankees blew it open in the eighth inning and the grand slam and everything else.
And, by the way, you know, we all know that Pete Alonso has been falling off the shelf here the last 10 days.
Indeed. Yeah.
So he's having, you know, one of his, in the middle of the season, kind of downturns, and he's got to get it turned around.
Yeah, he will. I'm not concerned about the offense. I am a little bit concerned with the volatility of the bullpen, to be honest with you, especially coming off of last night. But yeah, I mean, this is, I'm still happy with the team. This is going to be annoying for the Met fan, and this is going to be a great couple of days for the Yankee fan. But it's annoying. And thank God we've got the Knicks, because it would be all of that today. Like, if the Knicks had been eliminated by the Celtics, this would be Yankee fan crapping on the Met fan for days and days and days.
So you might remember when the Yankees were saying, you know, we're not going to give Juan Soto a suite because we don't give our player suites.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew that Juan Soto was getting a private jet on top of all of this to away games?
Now, is it every series?
Maybe. Carl didn't really go into a great deal about that, but man, we could look into that. I mean, this is the whole A-Rod thing when it comes to the suites on the road and all that stuff. That,
and
you know,
Steve
that
Phillips said we don't need 24-1.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And nobody wants 24-1. And the thing about it is that the A-Rod deal had been signed, I believe, by Texas. So when you were trading for him, you had to accept what was in that deal.
Yeah, but I'm going back to before he signed it with Texas and he wanted to be a Met, and they put all those things in front of Steve Phillips and the Wilpons, and they were like, this is just getting out of control, because some of the things that he was asking for, like private jets.
It's asinine.
Right, like, and they said no. Now, I would have loved for them to say yes at the time. I mean, A-Rod, Hall of Fame player. Obviously, we know what happened with the steroids, all the other stuff. But the guy was amazing. It would have been nice for him to be in a Mets uniform. But what A-Rod was asking for all those years ago is what the Mets gave Juan Soto.
I did need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did need that. We all did need that. But the point being is that if Juan Soto is putting up huge numbers and Juan Soto's coming through,
nobody cares.
Nobody really cares about that. But then all of a sudden, when that doesn't happen, and then somebody else is coming for a contract extension, and the Mets treat that guy like crap compared to what that guy thinks that Juan Soto has, that's where the schism happens, right?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I almost fell off my chair last night when I heard Ravitch say that, because I knew that he got in a suite. I had no idea that he had gotten a private jet charter. I'm assuming it's for his family.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when I heard it, I was just thinking that, like, he had gotten inside information about just this particular trip up to Boston that he was going to get the private jet. I guess I wasn't, I don't know. My brain wasn't critically thinking at that point. I was like, what? But now you're saying it. I'm like, wait a second. Is he doing that on every trip?
Somebody's got to get a little bit more specific information regarding that.
Is Ed Coleman still covering the Mets for us? Are we still employing Ed Coleman?
Does he have a private jet?
Does he take it every series?
No. Did the Mets give it to him? I don't know.
There'll be one, you know, there'll be that person out there or those people out there. I don't care. It's not my money. Yeah, but the point is that you want him to be a part of the team. You want him to really, I want him to get the most money he possibly can, and I guess all the perks that come along with it, I guess that's a part of it in baseball. But, you know, it's the whole, like, James Harden thing in basketball. It just does not lend itself to create a cohesive team.
Sure. I mean, especially if the guy's not playing up to his full potential. If he's out there and he's leading the league in every category like Aaron Judge, nobody cares what he is getting or what he got. But when you're struggling like this, and then you kind of look a little bit lackadaisical. I mean, the one thing that the Yankee fan said coming out of the series that it's impossible to deny, because we sat here and watched it too, as we watched the Yankees last year. He hasn't had that same swagger. Like, you haven't seen the Soto shuffle. You haven't seen that intensity from him yet consistently that you saw last year. So he looks a little bit more lackadaisical. Now, when you're not hitting, that, you know, your persona changes.
Thank God he made that catch in right field last night.
Well, yes. I mean, defensively, catch, we knew we weren't getting Willie Mays. But yes, you're right. But, I mean, so now you got not only the lack of production, but you're also looking at a guy who doesn't look like he's trying too hard. He looks like he's not trying enough. Now, I'm not totally alarmed, but everything that every criticism that Juan Soto is going to get this morning will be fully warranted because of the performance that he had, the start he's gotten off to, and the fact they didn't perform against the Yankees.
And how he looked.
Yeah. I mean, you want to slam Soto? Today's the day. Get out the sledgehammer and crush him. I'm going to stick by him. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm annoyed with him. I'm frustrated with him. But I know that if this team is going to bring all of us a World Series championship, we're going to need him to be aces. So
I would think with, you know, $765 million in the bank, you know, suites, private jets, the whole thing, I need to see a little bit more effort. I'm sorry.
I wonder if he plays golf and where he has joined his club. Maybe we can go out there with him.
They probably gave him 3 club memberships or 4 club memberships. Who knows?
Shinnecock, Augusta.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting into those places right now.
No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I mean, he got everything. And, you know, Steve Cohen, he treated that Juan Soto signing probably like he would that, you know, piece of art that he wasn't going to let someone else have. You know, whatever it takes. I'm the richest guy in the room. I'm getting that thing here. If it takes a private jet, if it takes a suite, if it takes me screaming at Scott Boras, whatever it takes, I'm getting it because I'm used to getting what I want. I got that slender man, tall statue for $40 gazillion hanging out in my house. I got a shark tank. I don't think he really has a shark tank. I think that was just a rumor. But I got all this stuff, and I'm going to get Juan Soto. And if he wants a private jet, he gets a private jet. Fine. Call him up. Wheels up. Wheels up. Give him a private jet. Who else is out there that does those companies? We'll just get the whatever this guy needs. What are you looking at there?
I'm looking at...
Oh, there we go. See, there's Al Dukes, who was posing for the Slender Man statue that Al's actually thinner now than he was in that picture, which is wild. But yeah, there it is. That's a Steve Cohen prize possession right there. So you're looking at something there because you've disengaged.
Well, there was a $70 million auction flop this weekend. And I thought that's what you were talking about, but it's something else.
No.
This happened at Sotheby's.
Oh, okay. No, I'm talking about, Steve Cohen. His history prior to owning the Mets was that he's one of the biggest art collectors there is. So that's what I was bringing up.
It's a Giacometti bust.
Giacometti bust?
Yes. That's what it was. That's what the
Giacometti maybe? Is it Giacometti or Giacometti?
Giacometti. I don't know. That's the thing right there.
So it was supposed to go for a lot of money and it did not?
And it did not.
Why not? Does it say?
I'm not sure why, but it's a 1955 bronze bust.
Oh, okay.
That looks like Al Dukes, too, to some respect.
It kind of looks like Christopher Lloyd, actually.
It's very thin.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe Steve Cohen, after paying all the money for Soto's, I cannot come in and get this Giacometti bust. And then once he's not involved, then the thing flops.
They thought it was going to get $70 million. Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
You have to appreciate art to understand.
$70 million?
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more than like a year of Joe Burrow.
That's exactly right.
$70
million? Yeah.
Give me Joe Burrow for a year over the Giacometti statue.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You've got Jerry Recco in here. Friday night was Jerry's night. Jerry posted earlier in the day everything he was talking about during the show. The Knicks going to blow out the Celtics, made the bets, put them out there on X. And boy, did everybody come out and congratulate Jerry on a call and a half. Yeah. So we do it in person now, even though we did it over text over the weekend. Jerry, you nailed it, man. That was awesome to see, and I'm glad you made a couple bucks on it as well.
Quite nice being exclusively loved by everybody.
Yeah.
I think I'm signing off Twitter forever now. That's the go out on a high note.
Right. Dismount after that, man.
You're not kidding.
Why not?
It was, honestly, it was everything I expected it to be. I thought they were going to out-effort them, out-hustle them. I thought the crowd was going to be crazy, and they had no chance.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was an amazing call by you. Then, yesterday you start seeing out all the injuries that are coming out now with the Boston Celtics. It's kind of like the Knicks last year. I guess they were hanging on by a thread, and the Knicks just actually hammered the crap out of them, much like OKC did to Denver last night.
Yeah. I mean, you're just not used to that as a Knicks fan, especially the way it's gone this year in the postseason, too. Just a rocking chair victory to close out a series.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better.
The only thing, I did bet the Towns, the three.
Oh, yeah.
If that first three is counted, mm-hmm. I think there's a chance. That one hurt when they waved it off. But
yeah.
It's all good. It was fine.
You still were all over it.
The only thing I didn't like was I used Fanatics Sportsbook.
Yeah.
Which I've been using lately. I could not get the minus 19 I wanted. I ended up at minus 14.5.
But okay.
I figured, it is what. It's still double digits. I took it.
Sure.
So, but I would have liked to have done the minus 19.5, like I said. Especially when they're up by 41 in the third quarter. My God.
Yep. Well, more importantly than the money and the odds, you were right.
I was right. Yes, I was.
All right, so what do you got over there this morning?
We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Play a little game. See, how do they compare? How do they compare? I'm going to take it back 10 years. Not exactly the same play.
Wow.
But the same result of the play. And the same clip is Howie Rose. If I go back to the World Series of 2015.
Oh, swing at a broken bat. Grounded a third. Cut off by Wright. Looks the runner back. Throws the first in time. Coming home the runner. And Duda throws it away. Hosmer scores. The ball goes to the backstop.
All right. That's Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Howie Rose last night.
Swing and a ground at a first. Dominguez breaks for the plate. Alonso has it, but he throws it away. He throws it to the backstop. Dominguez scores.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Same crappy throw.
I mean, it really was. I mean, everybody who is a big Mets fan that remembers that play thought of it immediately.
Mm-hmm. Hard not to.
I think back to when he misplayed that play to first base.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw that one over the head of the pitcher. I forget which pitcher it was.
Well, even the play at the first place yesterday, who was the pitcher for the Mets? Where they collide, like, get out of the way. Like, or make up your mind if you're going to toss it or not toss it.
I mean, that's
a mess.
I mean, it's become an issue.
Sloppy. Very sloppy.
Is this Steve Sachs-esque?
I'm not going to go that far.
How's he thrown? He's thrown his sidearm?
Oh, yeah, but he made the perfect throw Saturday.
Yeah, but you can't have this.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. It's the same play from the day before.
The Bantos error. For them on defense.
Yes. And I was happy to see they gave an error, not a hit.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then you had, you know, the base hit by Goldschmidt. You had grand slam as well from Cody Bellinger. Earlier in the day, the two-run double and 8-2. The Yankees wound up winning, scoring those six runs in the eighth inning.
So, basically, all three players that are there because Juan Soto is not there played, obviously, with Max Fried being the lead guy and Cody Bellinger being second and then Goldschmidt on base. All played an integral part.
Yes.
This entire weekend, by the way.
100%. This was a Brian Cashman weekend.
Brian Cashman sucks.
All right. I mean, say what you got to say. Here was Alonso. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, I just made an awful throw. I mean, that whole thing, it's on me.
Mm-hmm, fair enough. And then the guy that hit it was Jorbeet Vivas. He had he goes down 0-2 in between the three balls that were thrown. He fouled off five or six pitches. I'm not sure exactly what it was before he put the ball in play, but it turned out to be a very big at bat in the game. He was through a translator with Susan.
You know, it's a little cold coming into the game, but, you know, the mindset was to put the ball in play, really. You know, like you said, throwing hard. So you just want to make contact and make something happen for the team.
And by putting the ball in play.
At the beginning of the game when the guys get out in front of the dugout and they play catch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's about as far as this throw is from Pete Alonso. Like, you know, you're out there playing catch. He's out there with Jeff McNeil or somebody playing catch. That's, come on, make the freaking throw.
Yeah, that's definitely a mental type of rush thing.
That throw is like 10 feet to the left of Francisco Alvarez.
It's a bad throw.
What?
It's a bad throw.
I mean, remember that time at first base where you were playing Seaview and you threw the ball out into left field?
Yeah, I did.
That's what that reminded me of.
I had an injury that day. That I was fighting through. I don't think Pete was favoring a quad or anything like I was out at Seaview. But yes, I do remember that terrible throw that I had and everybody cheering behind me when that happened. It's a core memory for me.
And actually, that's exactly what happened to Pete because everybody was cheering when he threw this ball.
Yeah. Yeah. So not only did I think of Lucas Duda, but I thought of myself out there at Seaview.
We mentioned Bellinger breaking it open with the grand slam. Those are six RBIs on the night.
Feels good. Anytime you can kind of stand on that field and help the team win, I mean, that's what it's all about. So just trying to, you know, do what I can to be a part of this team. And I like where we're at, so we just got
to
keep going.
Even listening to him at this point, you listen to the music.
Yeah, I listen to the music. That was Levels by Avicii. Watch that Avicii documentary if you haven't. Very good.
Here was Max Fried. He pitched well, again, didn't factor in the decision. This was his first time through the Subway Series.
It was definitely exciting. You know, it was intense. Both teams going at it. Giving it everything they have.
And he kind of compared it to Mets Braves when the two teams are good, like the intensity of the city. So that was kind of neat. Here was Carlos Mendoza. Obviously, did not go well for their stars last night. You had Lindor, Alonso, and Soto all 0 for 4, combined 0 for 12. Soto 1 for 10 for the weekend. Did walk a few times, of course, as he always does. Here was Mendoza, how he dealt with the fan reaction through the weekend.
He knew what was coming. And he didn't change, you know, even though
today was pretty much the only game that we didn't see results. But the past couple of games, he was on base half of the at-bats, couple of walks, hitting balls over 100. You just got to give credit to their pitching staff.
Okay, fair enough. What I don't know is if anyone asked him about him not running the ball out in the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
He must have just thought it was a hit, right? I mean, that's what he was thinking. I mean, there's no reason.
Because he's just lollygagging.
You know, like, once he made the play, like, then he started, you know, moving a little bit, but
think the reaction wasn't that it looked like a routine ground ball, but that he thought it was a base hit up the middle.
That's the only thing that I can think of with the way that he was like, oh, that's a hit, and then, like, starts moving when the guy makes
the play.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Cabrera, the pitcher for the Mets that gave up the home run?
Genesis?
To Bellinger? Yeah, did you see his reaction when the ball was hit?
He's, like, bent over, like...
Yeah. Holy crap.
I did see. It was actually very funny. So all of that said, you've got the Yankees who will play the Rangers tomorrow. They're 27-19. The Mets, after dropping 2 of 3, 29-18. And oh, by the way, the Phillies now half game behind them as they swept the Pirates over the weekend.
The Yankees got a cakewalk in the AL East. I mean, it's not even funny. Nobody's even close to them.
Five-game lead on Boston, I believe. And I think, is it Toronto, I think that's for, or Tampa, one of them.
These
teams, both five games behind them. Anyhow, so the Mets a half-game lead. The Brewers did beat the Twins, notable because it ended Minnesota's 13-game winning streak. And the Angels with the rare sweep of the Dodgers with help from a friend.
Here it comes, and he swings at that one and lifts that one high in the air, and that one's going to get out in left field. That is a home run. We're just watching Darno circle the bases, and he hits his first Angel homer, and
that's Angels radio. Travis Darno with the home run. So you had the Angels beat the Dodgers 6-4 as they took all three from Los Angeles over the weekend. By the way, Dodgers in town, I believe, on Friday.
Yeah, that's
week,
right.
To take on the Mets. So
the private jet's going up to Boston this week.
That's where they'll be tonight, as a matter of fact. Exactly right. All right, NBA playoffs. There was a game 7 yesterday, but it wasn't much of a game.
Gildas Alexander, stutter steps. Works top of the key on the dribble. 7:50 to play. Fires a three straight away. It's online. Tumbling in there. Cha-ching, a Thunder Moneyball. SGA's got 35.
And they were winning by a whole hell of a lot. 125-93, the final score. That was Thunder Radio with the call. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander finished with those 35 points. Jalen Williams at 24. They win going away. They take the series in 7. Here was SGA, as they say. What did he learn from the series?
We can win no matter the environment, no matter the type of game. It could be ugly. It could be pretty. It could be high scoring. It could be low scoring.
Whatever. They're winning in a variety of ways. Here's Nikola Jokic after the loss. So can this group win an NBA title again as currently constituted?
I mean, we didn't, so obviously we can't. If we could, we will win it. So I don't believe in those if stuff. So we had the opportunity. We didn't win it. So I think we can't.
On the positive side, his season's over and he can go back home.
Okay, bye.
Right, that's exactly right. So Oklahoma City will play Minnesota in the Western Finals, game 1 tomorrow night, and you'll have game 1 of the Eastern Finals between the Knicks and Pacers sometime in mid-June.
Mm.
It does look like, I guess, Wednesday they will finally get started. On Friday night, you had Mike Breen at the mic on ESPN describing the final seconds.
For the first time in 2.5 decades, the New York Knicks are going to a conference final. And they do it in dominant fashion as they defeat the Celtics in 6 games. It's their largest playoff win ever.
Yeah, they won by
a
boatload on Friday night. And I thought this was very classy after the Celtics loss from Kristaps Porzingis, who genuinely seemed like happy for the Knicks and their fans.
Of course, it was, you know, honestly the support from the Knicks fans was through the roof tonight and all throughout the playoffs. Unbelievable fans, unbelievable city, and there's a side of me that's very, very happy.
I know, that's very nice.
Yeah, well, it's nice, but the Celtic fan is like,
what? So, but we're not in Boston, so what do I care about the Celtic fan?
You know, he's a European, though. He's a little soft.
Okay. I
think the Latvians are soft.
Yeah.
Just as a whole, that country.
I mean, plus he wasn't feeling well. And plus, I had his jersey in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought it was a classic thing to say for someone that had been here before. Here was Josh Hart dealing with the Pacers coming up next.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a tough opponent. You know, they push the pace. They run on makes, misses. And it's going to be a huge communication series for us.
And that series, again, will start Wednesday night at Madison Square Garden. Al was detailing some of the things he saw from Friday night.
Oh, like what?
What'd you say? They burned a Celtics jersey, and then there were some light pole climbing?
Yeah, climbing the poles.
And there was that one guy up on the billboard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A guy up on a billboard. That I didn't see.
Yeah, you didn't see that guy?
Well, no. That was from the other night, though, was it? Or that was from Friday?
That was Friday night.
It was? Okay. Yeah, he was way up there, and then there was he shot a video from it looked dangerous.
I mean, that guy get arrested?
I don't know. I don't think so.
First of all, how did he get up there?
Don't know.
There has to be a ladder or something.
Yeah, he had flip flops on, so I don't know how he scaled that thing to get up there and flip.
There has to be a ladder somewhere or somehow. And
what do you think? Mission Impossible out of a helicopter?
Maybe.
Come on. There had to have been a ladder.
Never underestimate the young drunk guy.
Well, I suppose that's true. The 49ers finalizing this new deal with Brock Purdy. 5 years, $265 million. Just a little late, Boomer. Just a little late.
Good for him, man. He deserves it. He delivered $50 million a year performances, and he was playing for basically $1 million.
Let's see how that goes with no team around him now, because he's got
At the end of the day, he's certainly proven that he can play and he can handle it, and he's perfect for Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Yeah, and it's the most money a quarterback's ever gotten after quitting on his team in a championship. So I read that in the stat pack this morning. So good for him.
A couple of years ago now. And there was a Game 7 in the NHL where the Panthers bludgeoned Toronto.
Draw far circle off the draw. Turnaround shot. They score, and it's Reinhardt from the high slot. He lets it rip. He wasted no time, and the Panthers have a 5-1 lead.
And that was pretty much it. 5-1 lead. 6-1 was the final, and it was not going well.
You want to talk about a tortured fan base. That's the Maple Leafs.
I will have some of your guys on TNT coming up next hour because the Maple Leafs were getting booed off the ice after the second period.
I mean, the amazing thing is they had to go down to Florida to force this Game 7, and they shut the Panthers out in their own building in Game 6. And
they gave their fans false hope.
And then in Game 5 and Game 7, Florida scored 6 goals in each game. So they outscored the Maple Leafs 12-2 at home in the final two games.
There's Mitch Marner. He will be a free agent soon. So what next?
Yeah, I'm in thoughts right now. I mean, yeah, like I said, pretty devastated with what just happened. Devastated. I've always enjoyed this team and, this city, like I've always said.
No, he'll be a free agent, though.
Well, the amazing thing is that you got to remember, the Maple Leafs lost their starting goalie in this series because Sam Bennett hit him in the head.
Yeah, that was game one.
Right. He's been out with a concussion, so the backup goalie has not played all that well.
And in golf, John Rahm threw up all over himself on the back nine, and Scottie Scheffler did not. He went the other way and just won by a lot at the PGA Championship.
Oh, by the way, were you happy with the leaderboard?
At the end, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And you get some of those schlubs out of there. Guys like Johnny Vegas were dropping right out, bogeying holes all over the place, and the real golfers came up there. And, yes, Scotty was up there. Obviously, we just talked about Rahm, who had a terrible finish, but he was up there. Bryson was up there.
A terrible finish, too.
Yeah, but they were up there. And then the guy that everybody loves to see win now, for the most part, I think people enjoy this, is Scotty. He gets his third major. He hadn't won anything outside of the Masters. You know, we talk about how great he's been, and he just got another one. So he's on his way to that career Grand Slam as well. Keep it rolling.
Yes, he is.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, it's hilarious. Are all the internet things or the social media stuff around, surrounding the Knicks?
Yeah.
And how everybody before the Knicks series against the Celtics, if they win two, I'll be happy. You know, Stephen A. is like this. You know, and it also goes back to when they signed Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
And how he wasn't the guy, and he shouldn't be the guy. I mean, like, if I'm the Nick player in that locker room, I'm like, screw all these people. And now we're going to have to start hearing it again. You know, against the team who knocked him out last year. Now, the Knicks had a ton of injuries to deal with. But the one thing about the Indiana Pacers that, you know, it's not that it worries me, but it's just something that, you know, as fans get ready for this series, get ready to see, like, at least nine guys playing for the Pacers.
Yeah.
Now, Rick Carlisle likes to use his bench, and they play where they really have gotten better since, I think it was March 11th. I was looking at this morning. I think I'm correct. But since March 11th, they're 23-6, and that includes the playoffs, in which they only lost two games to the Bucks and, of course, the Cavaliers. And, you know, everybody says it's Halliburton. It is. He's one of them, of course, and he's a great shooter. But, you know, they distribute the ball really well. They play an aggressive style defense, kind of like Detroit does. But they have some pretty good shooters, not as good as Boston's shooters. But they will have three or four guys that will, most likely three guys, that will be all over Jalen Brunson in this entire series.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a pretty even series. If you look at the odds on FanDuel Sportsbook, the Knicks are a slight favorite, -146 to the Pacers, +124. So that's very, very even. But the Knicks are favored. So yeah, this to me is got seven games of intense, fun, competitive basketball written all over it. And it's going to be a Halliburton Brunson show for sure. And hopefully we get the Karl Anthony Towns for the entire series that we got in game six, because he was awesome. He was aggressive, and he was everything that we wanted to see out of him. He gave us that game in game three against the Pistons, needed it in game six against the Celtics, and got it. And when he is aggressive, he feels like he's unstoppable, and he's not racking up the fouls and playing sloppy defense and getting frustrated by the officials. When he takes the game in his hands, he feels unstoppable. So it's going to be great. I can't wait. I mean,
right,
and it reminds you of the 90s, too, in the sense of the Pacers and the Knicks and that whole thing.
And Eastern Conference Finals. It's the same roster as they had last year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Pascal Siakam, when they made the trade for him, obviously made them whole. And, you know, they went to the finals last year. So if you want to talk about experience, you know, I don't know about that. I mean, all these players have been in the playoffs now. They know what it's like. They know the pressure is intense no matter at what level you're playing, whether it be the first, second, or third, or even the fourth if you make it to the finals. But, you know, both teams are extremely experienced. Both teams are going to get after each other, and they're very similar in the way that they play. So, and the other thing I liked about Friday night, by the way, remember we were talking about closing out defensing, you know, like not doing the flybys and
crap. Defending the three.
That one series where Mitchell Robinson, like, was rotating to all the different players, and then he goes to the corner, mm-hmm. and I forget, I think it was Jaylen Brown in the corner, and he didn't jump up, he didn't foul him. It was almost like he engulfed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the kind of defense that you want to see the next play. You don't want to allow these long shots by Halliburton, you know, coming off of screens and things of that nature. You have to stay tight to them because they like to do the same thing that the Celtics do. So, and they're just as good, maybe not quite as good shooters, but they do have depth like the Celtics do have depth, and they'll have at least nine players playing significant minutes in these games.
When Mitchell Robinson's lower half is healthy, and that's been a rare thing during his career, he is nimble defensively at his size, like legitimately nimble. And he is unbelievable when he can get in the face of some of these great shooters and these great offensive players. So keep him healthy because he has been awesome. +20 against the Celtics in game six. He's been a plus player the entire series. Love to see it. All right. You want to talk some Knicks? You want to talk some Subway Series? 888-808-1019. Gabe is in Wayne, New Jersey. What's going on, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking the call. Happy Monday, boys.
Happy Monday, Gabe. What's up today?
So, look, last night's atmosphere at the stadium was next level, right? And the Soto situation was obviously at the heart of it. Now, I'm not going to say anything crazy like the Yankees' plan B pivot is going to end up being better than Soto because that's just nuts. All right, but I will say this. Juan Soto was completely afraid of the fans this series, and here's why. He was always the last Met to take the field. Yesterday, so much so that he was running out there just before the batter came to the box in one of the innings. And I was in the stands yesterday. The heckling was pretty PG-13, but it was constant. And it kept getting to him. His body language couldn't hide it. He kept peeking at the crowd, rolling his eyes, desperate to shut us up. You guys mentioned not hustling in the eighth, but there was that Judge double in the first that he didn't run out that he probably could have caught, but he didn't, you know, get to right off the bat. This was obviously a huge game for the Yankees, huge series for us. And it just feels nice for us Yankees fans knowing that he showed up small after everything that happened.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that is a very reasonable take from a Yankee fan. And I understand why you feel that way. And you should be thrilled because in this little package here in May, in this series, you came out on top, and all these other guys that Brian Cashman brought in after Soto signed with the Mets were huge factors in this series. But I'm with you. I mean, even on the Bellinger Grand Slam, he was acting as if the fans in right field were lava. I mean, he got nowhere near that ball.
Yeah, I don't think he could have got the ball. But
he didn't try. I mean, it looked like he was afraid of the fans out there, and the way that he reacted to them the entire game, it just made me think that. So.
It's amazing. He played for the Yankees 1 year, gave them a great season.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I will go back and I will say it time and again. There is no way in the world that the Yankees were going to give him what the Mets ended up giving him. Everything, all the perks, all the money. They just weren't going to do that. And, you know, the Yankees kind of flirted with $700 million, but they knew that the moment he asked for a suite, the moment he was asking for private jets and Boris was doing his Boris thing, that there was no way in the world that he was going to re-sign with the Yankees. So he made the right decision. He signed with the Mets, but he didn't do so because he hated playing for the Yankees. He did so because everything that Steve Cohen basically offered him.
Yeah, and I don't even think, I think if you get to the core of every Yankee fan, if you're just talking to them and, the emotion goes away, they understand that they would probably have done the same thing if they were in Juan Soto's shoes and taken the most money and the suites and all the perks. The thing that really pissed off the Yankee fan about it is it ignited the Mets fan into saying all these things about how their organization is better. That's what this is all about, is that the Yankee fan for months had to hear it from the Mets fan that he chose us and we've got a richer owner and we got a better farm system and screw you guys. And after all these years, we're finally on top. So I don't think that the Yankee fans are going to Juan Soto like, how dare you have done this? It's more like you have now ignited these losers over here into trash talking in our face and I can't take it. That's what they're thinking.
I know, but for me, Steve Cohen needs Juan Soto more than the Yankees needed Juan Soto.
Yeah, indeed.
Steve Cohen needs Juan Soto for Metropolitan Park. He needs Juan Soto for all that development that he wants to do around Citi Field. He needs to bring joy and happiness to the Met fans, and the Met fans have rewarded him by how many people have been going to the home games.
That's right.
You know, and you heard Brandon Nimmo talking last night how great Yankee Stadium was. It felt like a playoff series, and this felt like a playoff game and everything else. Well, you know, almost every game at Citi Field has felt that way.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.